settle down. I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Los Angeles, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Second hour brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsor here. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firms are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident, you need support. Whether it's car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered and will work for you 24/7, nights and weekend. Get the representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, and they are proud sponsors. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. So our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. With that, we bring on Fox Deportes. Fox, he's analyzing the World Cup. He's former Mexican League player and was capped internationally by the Mexican national team. He's Mariano Trujillo. Mariano, thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Mariano, we've been having fun on this World Cup, and the question I put out to my listeners tonight was basically what has stood out to you most in the World Cup? Now, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but what has stood out to you most in the World Cup?
You know, more than the results, more than the performances, I will stick with that is a very open World Cup. I was thinking on before the World Cup started, I was thinking that Brazil was going to be superb, that Spain and Germany, and obviously after the first games and the second game, I don't see any team being as solid as I thought. So again, obviously Cristiano Ronaldo, he's been in an amazing shape, in an amazing form. But other than that, I will say that it's a very open World Cup, and it won't be a surprise if Belgium wins the World Cup, or obviously France, or, I don't know, maybe Portugal, with Cristiano Ronaldo being in an amazing form.
Do we have to be careful to make too much judgment on for most of these teams right now, a singular game? Because we all know that teams evolve, teams will devolve, some teams will just flatline, and it won't be good enough. You know, Spain, for instance, in the last World Cup, everybody kept saying, oh, well, you know, they'll get it going. Well, they never got it going, and they didn't get out of the group. So are we needing to be a little bit careful here?
Yeah, obviously you have to be careful. You have to wait till the end. And I agree with you that as the games are coming, teams will be better. But at the same time, opposition will be better as well. So that is why today, for example, Spain looked sharp, looked well. They struggle a lot against a team that obviously is not a powerful team, but they were very well organized. So if you face a very well organized team, but with a little bit of quality on top, like Uruguay, for example, they can knock them out of the next round. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think we have to be cautious in judging their performances. But overall, I think it's a very open World Cup.
And to Mariano's point, the 1-0 win today for Uruguay on the goal by Luis Suarez advances them to the knockout round for the third consecutive World Cup. So, Mariano, I got to take you into what was a wonderful result for Mexico. The scenes in Mexico City, just spectacular. Just some of your thoughts, having played for Mexico, what that meant to you.
Well, it meant a lot. It meant a lot, especially because of all the things surrounding the national team, off the field things surrounding the national team. This is a group of players that have experience, that have experience also some sort of success individually and with the national team. Some of them won the gold medal on the Olympics. Some of them were world champions on the youth level. They know each other. They're good friends off the field, and they believe in themselves. And I think one little thing that brought him together even more is that criticism from the media, from the former coaches, former players, towards them and towards the coach. So I think we saw that on the field. A committed team, regardless of the opponent, this time was Germany, and obviously because of the result, it means a lot. Probably the best result in the World Cup that we have had. But what I really like, what I really enjoy, was the commitment of the players. Chucky Lozano playing as a left winger, but going all the way down to help Gallardo as a, playing as a left back. Herrera, I remember a year ago playing Confederation Cup. He was a little bit curious in the middle of the field. And in these past games, he was amazing. He was a perf. I will stick with that commitment of the Mexican national team. And because of that, I believe it means even more.
And Hector Herrera was a part of that gold medal winning team in 2012 in England that Mariano was referring to. All right, so I want to take you back to something wonderful you just said, and I actually smiled when you said it. You said the media and healthy pressure. That is what has played a part in getting a reaction from the Mexican national team, right?
Yes, definitely. I think there's always pressures, not just in Mexico, but in any other national team. But I think in Mexico it's special because us as Mexican fans, we're never happy. If we win, but we could have scored probably two more goals. If we lose, obviously, because we lose. If we don't play the way we would like the national team to play, we complain. So we're always complaining, and that adds a lot of pressure to the players. Players not playing in their clubs, we're complaining about that. So I think surrounding the national team, again, the media, with the comments and the analysis, and I respect all their opinions, obviously, but we were talking a little bit earlier about being careful of judging. I'm sorry, too early, and I think that is what happened with the Mexican national team. A lot of the media were judging too early, even though the results were there, the numbers were there. They were judging too early because of the friendly games. Well, with this result versus Germany, I think we learned our lesson, and we will have to be patient with Juan Carlos Osorio with the team and just wait till the final whistle.
All right, so Mexico's got South Korea next, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, South Korea. So there's a real running commentary out there now that people are really, hey, we got to be careful now because Mexico's known not only for playing up to the competition like against Germany, but sometimes their game drops. This is a different type of team than Germany and South Korea. Their backs are against the wall. Are you concerned that Mexico plays down to the competition? Because I'm not.
I am not. I'm with you. And I am with you because of what I mentioned before. I saw a very committed national team, and that is true. We have faced Brazil, we have faced Italy, and we play very well against them. But and it is true also that when we play a lesser opponent, if I can say that, in regarding the levels, we drop a level as well. But again, I think this team is there to make history. And I don't know if that would be the fifth game, the sixth game, whatever game they want to play, but at least they're convinced inside of the group that they can make history. That being said, I think if they face Korea and then Sweden, it won't change their mentality and their attitude on the field.
Mariano Trujillo joining us. He's partnered with Jorge Perez Navarro, calling games. Now, what do you have tomorrow? Do you have a game tomorrow, Mariano?
No, I'm warming up. I'm getting ready for Mexico and South Korea.
You need to be rested up. You need to be rested up for that one. All right, so I'm looking at tomorrow. We got Group C, Denmark, Australia. Then you've got France and Peru and Argentina, Croatia. Some amazing games. If you picked one out of those, which would you like? Denmark, Australia, France, Peru, or Argentina, Croatia?
Because of the history surrounding the game, I will choose Argentina and Croatia. Obviously, Lionel Messi, one of the biggest stories in the World Cup, missing the PK, tying Croatia while winning the first game. I think that's a game that I will stay with. I don't know. I really like Lionel Messi, and I feel sorry about the situation with the national team, with the Argentinian national team, because they have done a lot. But even with that, in Argentina, they don't recognize what Messi has done for their national team. Three finals. They haven't won, but it's not easy to get into the finals, as you know. So I would like to see Lionel Messi carrying the flag one more time and getting the first victory for Argentina.
So Mariano's picking Argentina-Croatia. Now, Croatia will advance with a win. Argentina cannot advance or be eliminated on Thursday. The all-time series, they've met four times. It's Argentina 2-1-1. And you go back to 98. It's the last time I think they played that's the only World Cup meeting. It was Argentina 1-0 over Croatia. So I want to take you into the whole Messi thing. Because I look at Cristiano Ronaldo with Portugal. His supporting cast, they fight. I mean, they're working. Do you see that with Argentina? And look, I know they're talented players and all, but is the supporting cast there in the right ways for him? In other words, is there enough other guys on that team taking pressure off him? Are they good enough defensively, and are they good enough in goal?
Well, I think they're good. Some of them play in the best teams in the world. But reality is that at the right moment, they haven't stepped up. Not just for Lionel Messi, for the national team, but for themselves. I remember Di Maria playing with Real Madrid, winning the Champions League and having an amazing performance with Real Madrid. But I haven't seen that from Di Maria with the national team. And so I think and I believe we were talking about pressure for the national team, and I think Argentina is absorbing that pressure too much. Obviously, Lionel Messi is the face of the team. But I think, like you said, the other players, I don't know if they're relying a lot on Lionel Messi or they're okay with Messi taking all the pressure. Because from what I saw in the last game, I think it's been poor, the performances of the other players in the Argentinian national team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's like, hey, somebody step up and help the guy. I mean, you know, don't wait for him to make it happen. Start making some things happen yourself, and it may carry over to creating a bit more space for him and doing things that can maybe help him regain the swagger. But they've got an opportunity against Croatia. That's not going to be a very, very easy game. Mariano, I thank you very much, as always, for coming on, and best of luck with the call with Mexico and South Korea. I'm going to be listening.
Well, thank you very much, Vin.
Always a pleasure. We're working on the same World Cup, and I never even see you, so it's kind of funny.
I know.
It's kind of fun.
Crazy hours.
Yes, it is.
I know.
We're all sleeping at different hours. I don't even see people walking through the lobby of the hotel, so it's been a lot of fun, and we got more fun to come. Thank you, Mariano.
Thank you.
All right, that's Mariano Trujillo, played in Mexico in Liga MX, also with the Mexican national team. He'll be calling the Mexico-South Korea game with Jorge Perez Navarro. Let's go to Martin. Martin, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
Good. How are you, Martin?
Good. I just wanted to, talk about Mexico. I don't know if you remember last week I called saying that, we weren't really a big fan of Osorio.
I do remember you. You didn't like, yes. I guess you like him now, huh?
No, I'm not just because they won this game. I'm not going to fall for the guy. But I have to give credit where credit is due. I believe that he put a really, really great team out there. I think that's the main reason why they won that game. I don't know, whatever the pep talk he gave them before the game, I think he should do that, for the rest of the game. But yeah, he put a really great team out there, and I have to give him credit for that. I think I'll go as far as saying that he has put the best team he's ever had, since he took over as coach. And I think, I know you were saying, I was listening to the interview, you were saying that, they're going to go up against South Korea and sometimes Mexico, they lower down their level.
I don't think it's going to happen this time. I don't see that happening time. I don't.
I totally agree with you. I think if Mexico continues with this momentum, with this intensity that they played against Germany, and if Osorio doesn't do any rotations, I think if he puts that same team out there, I think they're good to win this group.
I think Mexico, I'm going to go on record, I think Mexico is going to win comfortably against South Korea. I see him beating South Korea after having watched South Korea.
I see a 2-0 result. I think Sweden, that should be a really interesting match, besides the Germany one. I'm just hoping they win the group. I think it will be a really, really good thing for them, you know, for their, you know, for them to be confident to move on. And, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking right now about Mexico.
Okay,
and,
Martin. Make it quick, Martin, because I'm up on a hard break. Make it quick. Go.
Okay, Cristiano. Yeah, his teammates needs to step up before you know, it catches up to him. He's the only player on that team that's making a difference. And if they really want to win the World Cup, they got to step it up and help him out.
It's a fair question, Martin. Thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
No problem, Glenn.
All right, so Martin weighing in there, and I like the fact that he admitted he didn't like Osorio, but he gives him credit for the win over Germany. I think we have to. Hey, the World Cup's here. It's time to get your home theater situated for the year. Tranquility Home Systems and my friend Jesse is who you need to talk to. THS will come out. They'll get you a free quote. They'll get you on your way to home theater installation. Look, you love sports. You love the World Cup. Why deny yourself the home theater setup? Get out and get it. So you're watching the World Cup, which is getting exciting day by day, and you're watching it in the latest 4K video technology. Here's Jesse's personal phone number. He'll give you a quote, 281-506-7822, or hit up the THS website at www.ths3inc.com. And don't forget to join me at the Gorgeous Gale. It's 5555 Morningside in West University. We're doing 7 live shows at the Gorgeous Gale starting on June 30th. We'll watch the World Cup Soccer Matter style. We'll recap it live. We'll have live guests, ticket giveaways. We'll have the ESPN 97.5 team out there giving away goodies. It's all at a great Irish pub, the Gorgeous Gale in West University. Stop in for a pint and a bite and enjoy the outdoor patio. TheGorgeousGale.com. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 live radio shows during the World Cup. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Color analyst on the World Cup for Fox, my partner on it, Kobe Jones, all-time leading caps leader for the United States. Been to 3 World Cups. He will join us next. We'll talk more World Cup.
ESPN 97.5.
Really want to know who Superman is? Watch this. Oh!
I like him. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Los Angeles. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We certainly thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. They are the presenting sponsors of the second hour. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're bilingual. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And we do appreciate that. And I appreciate Michael Hernandez back in the studio in Houston producing as doing the show out of Los Angeles. Michael, thank you very much. And the other thing about Michael everybody has to know is that he is a big soccer fan. Right, Michael?
Yes, I am.
Enjoying the World Cup?
Oh, yes, of course. I like how the World Cup's going. Mexico's victory over Germany was a big deal for all of the Mexican supporters. And then all the, let's say, the top teams not playing up to par their standards that they usually play with.
Yeah, we're going to see if some of those teams rebound, including tomorrow. Argentina has a huge match. That may be the featured match tomorrow against, and it's not an easy team. It is Croatia. So this is some real drama tomorrow with Lionel Messi and Argentina. We have a caller, right? Speaking of Argentina, who's the caller?
Martin.
All right. It's Martin. Let's go to the caller. Who wants to talk about Argentina?
Glenn, it's James, actually.
James. How are you, James? What's on your mind?
Hey. Well, I want to talk about a little bit about Messi and what everyone's talk about his teammates and his cast not helping him out, and you have Ronaldo in Portugal that you have a team that plays for him. But I think the big difference is that the Portuguese really believes in its country and its teammates, and I think in Argentina just divided because a lot of people that were supposed to get called did not get called on the team, and there's rumors that it's either Messi and friends or you don't play on the team. And they also have the guy from Serie A, Icardi, that is the top scorer in Serie A, and because of a conflict is not part of the group.
Is that Icardi?
This happened years ago where Carlos Tevez was one of the top scorers in Champions League.
So you're saying it's politics. Don't take me into all the storylines, but this is a great point you're bringing up. So you're saying there's a lot of politics around it, and you're saying what's around Ronaldo is a very unified group of Portuguese players, and I would agree with you 100%. I think you're making a tremendous point. That doesn't mean Argentina still can't find it, but I think if you think about what you just said, and for my listeners, if you think about what was just said, that makes sense looking at the first couple games.
Yeah, and I also thought Osorio and myself is a critic of Osorio, and I think that's a unified Mexico team that believes in that cause. But again, there's always game two, and he's known to switch lineups around. And I think the comment that one of the commentators from Fox said, soccer is a very simple sport. And there's a lot of genius to simplicity, and I just think that some people just get over their heads over that, and I think Mexico should stick to their game plan and keep fielding what they have. But again, it's only
well,
game.
Let's see
only,
if he let's see if he against South Korea doesn't tinker too much with this team, keeps the momentum and the confidence going, tactically keeps things. Very consistent. I'll tell you a funny story about him. He was at the New Jersey Metro Stars, which, by the way, has had coaches go through there. Listen to the coaches that went through the Metro Stars that couldn't get it done in MLS because they just didn't understand the league. Osorio was there. Carlos Alberto Pereira, who won a World Cup with Brazil, was there. And also Carlos Quiroz, who's in this World Cup with Iran, who's another guy that's being looked at potentially for the U.S. national team job. So you have Osorio and Quiroz in this World Cup, who U.S. soccer has their eyes on. So I went to talk to him at Giants Stadium at the time about the team because I was one of the broadcasters doing the game. This was, I think it was like late 90s. He wanted to talk soccer. I must have sat there for an hour listening to him describing things, his thoughts, ideas on it. And, here he sits now with an incredible opportunity to do something unique.
No, just before I go, Glenn, thanks for your time. I'm always enjoying hearing the show. But also, Osorio did play college soccer in the U.S. with
That's
Ray
right.
Reed in
Southern Connecticut
and also
State.
UConn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he knows the American game, and definitely was a big part of trying to change the game here early on. But, Glenn, thanks for your time, and just wanted to make my point of Argentina.
James, tremendous point, and I think it's one we have to bear witness to and think about because that is – you may not like the way Portugal plays today, but they're going to fight behind Ronaldo. I don't think there's any question. We'll see you at the Gorgeous Gale, James.
Take care, everyone.
All right, that's James. Good point from James there. I like that a lot. The whole thought of Lionel Messi picking the team and the politics around Argentina. Very nice. I like that from James. 713-780-3776. Let's go now to my partner. I taped this earlier. Kobe Jones and I will be calling Serbia Switzerland. Of course, everybody knows Kobe. 3 World Cups. He is the most capped player ever. You think about this. For the United States national team. Here's my earlier interview with Kobe Jones. All right, you've played in 3 World Cups, Kobe. You've been through this experience. Tell us how, as a player, this is different than anything else.
Well, the best way I could explain it to the average person, that's trying to get a taste and get a feel for what it's like, is think of how we say the levels of a game, from college, a college game is like the practice at the professional level, and so on. I would say a World Cup, it's like the professional game is like the practices before you're getting ready for the World Cup. So to reach the point of a game at the World Cup with the meaning and the intensity and the nerves that go behind it, it's practically impossible to explain to someone. But you know, that's probably the best I can say. You have this weight on you in that you are representing not your country, you know, on the world stage, and everybody, probably, you know, up to billions of people are going to see these games.
Is there ever a moment in the game you 100% get comfortable, or is there always a level of healthy uncomfortableness when you play in World Cup games?
In a World Cup match, you never get completely comfortable. There's always a little bit of nerves. You always know what's going on. It's all about how you handle that nervous energy that you get, you know, and everyone gets it. You know, the best of the best, when we're talking about the Ronaldos and the Messis, the majority of the time handle it well and channel that energy into what they can do on the pitch. But as we've seen even in this World Cup, you know, there are times where the nerves get to you. You know, you look at Messi with the miss with the penalty. You know, that seems like it's a little bit of the nerves and the pressure and so on. But Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, stepping up to a whole completely new level and channeling it and letting it take him higher.
He's Kobe Jones. He's been to 3 World Cups, all-time caps leader for the United States, and he has the dubious honor of having to do World Cup games with me. We've got a good one on Friday. We've got Switzerland and Serbia, a lot at stake for both of those teams. I want to take you back to Nigeria and Croatia, because we saw a 19-year-old goalkeeper for Nigeria, Francis Uzoho. And to me, it seemed like he really handled the big stage quite yet well for a kid that's just getting out of his teen years.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, right? You never know how people are going to respond in a World Cup match, be it their first or be it their fifth. You know, it's always different responses, and you saw it as well as I did when we were doing our research on Uzoho. You know, just some of the precursors to the World Cup matches, you know, he looked a little sketchy. He looked like he was a little bit off, you know, off of the set pieces and everything. But once it became game time and he had to perform on the true stage, he was absolutely fabulous. I thought he did a good job for a 19-year-old, you know, leading in the back, you know, showing character and poise and actually coming out on a few of the crosses and dominating the box as you expect your goalkeeper to do. So I think he played beyond his years.
Kobe Jones joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget tomorrow, Lionel Messi and Argentina will take on Croatia. So you and I, having seen Croatia and really studied them pretty deeply, taking on Argentina, this looks to me to be a challenge for Argentina. So let me take you back to Messi and the pressure you mentioned he's got on him. Are his teammates, in other words, are his teammates doing enough to take that pressure off him? And are his teammates, for lack of better words, are they a good enough supporting cast?
Well, look at it. I mean, the teammates that he has, you know, they're pretty talented players. And I think one of the questions that always comes up is, are his teammates good enough to support him? The only reason we say that is because it's Lionel Messi. I mean, he's so far above and beyond everybody else, you know, but that's a pretty good squad that Argentina has. The question is can Messi lead these guys, you know, further, and can they support at the right time? That's going to be the big question. Where you have a moment of where Messi doesn't come through, like off on the penalty, can everyone else on that team step up? You know, obviously it wasn't the result, you know, that Argentina won it the previous day, and no one from Argentina was able to step up and put them in a situation where they could go beyond. That's going to be the big question, you know, and we've only gone one game in this next game against Croatia. That's going to be the telling point, because now, you know, we've seen a little bit of a, you know, a frustrated, maybe a little bit of a tired, you know, Messi. You know, can someone else up on that team come forward and say, okay, I can, you know, take a little bit of that burden?
He's Kobe Jones joining us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so one of the biggest things for me, Kobe, and you and I have talked about this already, was Germany against Mexico. I was absolutely stunned in the first 45 minutes about the German national team tactically. And once they got hit on 2 or 3 counters from Mexico, I'm sitting there going, okay, Yogi Löw, who's considered a great tactician, is going to do something to change his team. and try and correct what is a very, very big problem. Either pull Kadira back, sit in front of the center back, something. Nothing ever happened. The players on the field never adjusted, which also stunned me, which leads me to, was that just an example for that 45 minutes of German arrogance?
I mean, you'd have to think so, right? Because we're trying to figure out where's the issue. Because as you said, Yogi Love, nothing. No leader on the field adjusted whatsoever. And even after the fact, you know, after the game was over, you had Mats Hummels talking about, you know, it was only me and Boateng in the back, you know, defending. Everybody else was gone. Well, you'd expect somebody, you know, on the field, one of the field generals, one of the field marshals, to step up and say, okay, we've got to adjust. If it isn't coming from the coaches, you've got to adjust on the field as you know, the players. You've got to make that. When you see Mexico coming at you not once, not twice, but like four or five times with breakaways, and sometimes, let's not forget, sometimes they had 2v1 breakaways.
It was unbelievable.
Against the German back line. And no one said, you know what, maybe we should change things. That's a little un-German-like, you know?
Yeah,
and when we talk about the style of the German team. So, yeah, I think they have some issues. I think there may have been a bit of arrogance, you know, that, oh, we can handle it, it won't happen again. But it consistently happened again and again. I mean, the Mexico team was impressive, without a doubt. They dominated and tore apart, you know, Germany, not only in the back line, but the midfield. That's where they overran Germany and put on a performance for the ages.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to take you into Mexico in a second, but I want to go back to Hummels, because Hummels is one of the perceived leaders of the team. When he says that, I'm thinking, well, Mats, what about you? What about you, Mats Hummels? Why didn't you pull Kadira back to stand in front of you? Why didn't you yell at some of your midfielders to remain a little bit more balanced? You know, that's what stuns me a little bit. It still is the biggest moment to me in this World Cup, because they are the defending World Cup champions. All right, on to Mexico. Okay, go ahead. I said about Germany.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, there's going to be more scrutiny because you're the defending World Cup champion, and there's an expectation on how Germany plays and their style, and even if they weren't World Cup champions, not to be dominated, you know, the way they were. You know, so, you know, fair enough. Yeah, Mats Hummels, he's one of the players that has to do that. You know, and only he and those players on the field are really going to know what happened there and why those decisions weren't made.
Well, they got Sweden next, and we know Sweden's going to fight to the end. So that is an amazing second game already, thinking that Germany could be potentially up against the second loss, or does the Mannschaft find it again and turn it on? Let's go on to what is tomorrow, Argentina and Croatia, and a little bit on Croatia after you and I called that game. Let's get some of your thoughts on Croatia.
Well, I thought they were a fabulous side. You know, they did pretty well. You know, from everything that we had seen them beforehand, they kind of worked to perfection, where I think they dominated Nigeria, you know, just as far as a team effort. You know, they took advantage of, you know, the set pieces. You know, they made sure that they, I would say more so than anything, did what they were supposed to do against a young, inexperienced Nigerian side. You know, that's the best way I could put it. You know, it wasn't the prettiest game, you know, but Croatia, you know, took out the strength of Nigeria. When you think of Nigeria as like the Super Eagles with their speed and play, pace and counterattacking abilities, those were never factors within the game, because I think so they were so organized, Croatia, that they really stifled any of that in Nigeria's attack.
Yeah, I thought they were physically tough too, Kobe. I thought physically they were tough. They matched that with of Nigeria.
Yeah, no, they outmatched Nigeria in every which way, you know. And now that could be in due partly to the fact that Nigeria is, you know, youngest team in the World Cup, you know. And so they said, okay, these are young players. Let's make sure that we, you know, take it to them, you know. And that's, it seems like exactly what they did. You can, that's one of the tactics if you have a young team, is that you can try to enforce your will upon them, you know, with that just physical, you know, superiority. And it seemed like it worked out.
So Croatia tomorrow against Argentina, that's a big one. The following day we get Brazil against Costa Rica trying to get their swagger in St. Petersburg. Then Germany will take on Sweden on Saturday. So, I mean, the hits just keep coming here. How much fun are you having with this? Are you having as much fun as me? I mean, I'm waking up at 5. I'm watching games. I know you are because you're kids, but I'm waking up strictly because it's soccer-related.
Yeah, no, of course. This is I'm recording everything. I'm rewatching stuff. You know, beyond just research, it's fun to see, you know, some of these games. This is a World Cup that has surprised right off the bat, you know, and we're seeing results that nobody expected. Remember, before this World Cup, everybody was talking about, oh, we're going to see the same teams here. We're going to see Germany, it's Brazil, you know, it's Spain, you know, all these standards. You know, these are the standard bearers of the sport. But you see Brazil, you know, getting a tie. You see Argentina struggling. You see Germany losing. I mean, this has been pretty spectacular. Spain coming up with a tie. You have Cristiano Ronaldo that had, I believe, 3 goals in his previous World Cups in total. You know, now he's got 4. You know, so it's pretty nice to see some surprises and excitement. You know, there's a slight possibility. I know we're just getting into that second round of the group stage. Slight possibility we might see some different teams in that semifinals. You know, where you could have 4 different teams would be kind of nice.
It would be. Kobe, thank you very much for your time. I'll see you tomorrow morning at our meeting, and thank you for coming on tonight and doing a double duty. The case of beautiful red wine is on its way.
Thanks, Glenn. Take care.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. That's Kobe Jones joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Kobe, thank you very much. All right, so a couple of quick things here I want to talk to you about. Goals by interval. So in the first 1 to 15 minutes in this World Cup, 5 have been scored. 16 to 30th minute, 5. 31st to 45th minute, and stoppage time, 7. 46th to 60th minute, 11 goals have been scored. So that first 15 minutes of second halves have been critical. Then you've had 9 goals between the 61st and 75th, and then 8 in the final 16 minutes between the 76th and 90th. So 17 goals in the first half have been scored in this World Cup, 28 in the second. 17 set-piece goals. So direct free kicks like Cristiano Ronaldo's, like Alexander Kolarov's for Serbia. Set-piece free kicks, 5. And then corner kicks, we've had 8 goals. If you look at the 4 goals Ronaldo scored, one was the De Gea blunder. That came in the run of play. Then Ronaldo was scored off a corner. He scored off a free kick to tie Spain, if you remember, from outside the box. And then, of course, scored from the penalty spot. He is money in the bank. We've had VAR involved, the video assistant in this World Cup, a handful of times here, 6 times, and 5 out of the 6 the incident was overturned. So I think VAR has, for the most part, been very effective. Hasn't turned out, as of now, to be the worry it might have been. A moment for second hour presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John and the Daspit Law Firm are personal injury attorneys, and they'll bring you a personalized approach. John Daspit, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, or 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, we do thank all the great sponsors of this show. And they make a big difference in bringing soccer talk to the radio for you. So thanks to FM Kitchen and Bar. Our thanks to Tranquility Home Systems and Jesse. Our thanks to the gorgeous Gail, Liberty Kitchen, Texas Children's Hospital, Bud Light, Advantage BMW, the Daspit Law Firm, King's Court. We thank all of you. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Bill McDonald's going to join me to talk about the famed Penn State coach, huge in U.S. soccer over all the years. The legendary Walter Barr passing away recently in the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, was on the 1950 World Cup team that defeated England 1-0. We'll talk with Bill McDonald about what type of man was Walter Barr when we return. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Calling to the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Los Angeles. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, they're gone. Teams being eliminated from the World Cup now. And they're going like a freight train. So is singer Maluma's $800,000 in valuables stolen from his Moscow hotel. So who is Colombian singer Maluma? He's a big star. So, memo to Maluma. Probably not a good idea to bring 11 luxury watches, Cartier jewelry, 10 glasses studded with diamonds and pearls to Moscow. That is an incredible decision from Maluma, the Colombian singer. Probably not the best of moves. All right, let's go and switch gears here as we welcome you back. Second hour presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Good friend, former teammate on the Houston Dynamos in the 80s. Straight Jesuit coach who is, I believe he's had... some ridiculous. It's like 500 plus wins in the high school game for Straight Jesuit, and also has been a longtime athletic director over there as well. Bill McDonald joins me right now. Bill, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Glenn. Glad to do it.
Yeah. I hope your 800,000 invaluables, you're not walking around with them in public, okay?
That's not me.
Yeah. Yeah. What a move. 800,000. I mean, what do you need that for in Moscow? It's mind boggling. Okay. Anyway, Maluma's a good singer. I do like him, the Colombian.
I travel a little lighter than that.
Yes. So do I. You know, I want to get serious here because the world of soccer lost a great man in Walter Barr, 1950 World Cup team for the United States when they knocked off England in that legendary match, legendary coach at Penn State. Went all over with U.S. soccer as an ambassador to the game. You played at Penn State for Walter Barr. I just want to really just give you an open platform to talk about this legendary man.
Yeah, so sad to hear the news, obviously, this week. And Coach Barr was not just a soccer coach to us players, but a mentor and someone who can, you know, help you in life. He cared about his players. He had humor. He had also, you know, the ability to play. I mean, he actually got onto the field and played with us, had, you know, his boots on. And, you know, he was in his 60s when I was there from 79 to 83.
So talk to me about him. You mentioned mentoring, teaching. I mean, you've dedicated a whole life to this and helping young people. I know your reputation with everybody in Houston. Obviously, we know each other very well. But talk about, you know, the teaching, the mentoring side of it, and why that was so impactful to you as a young man.
Well, yeah, I mean, those years at Penn State were critical in my formation as a player and ultimately, you know, as a coach. You know, I've had a great upbringing and my family was, you know, immersed in the game of soccer, but clearly, having somebody like Coach Barr, you know, teach you the game and talk to you about the game was just phenomenal for me and a lot of other players that were able to be at Penn State during his 14 years. I mean, he, you know, not just, you know, the training. I mean, when I remember our training sessions, there wasn't a day that was similar to the day before. Every day was different. We were doing, you know, different things around the game to make us better players and to make our team a better team. And our team had the results. We went to the Final Four my freshman year, and we were Final Eight, Final 16, Final Eight the other years. So we were very successful, and Walt was a major reason for that. And we didn't know at the time what a legend he was. You know, we we may have heard about 1950, but we were in our own moments, not his. So we were lucky to have had Coach Barr.
Bill, thanks for that testimony. We got to wrap it up. We're on a hard break. We appreciate that. That's Bill McDonald, straight Jesuit, and also played professional soccer with the Houston Dynamo. Dynamos, back in the 80s with me. In fact, was my roommate. Bill, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Great, Glenn. Thank you.
All right, so that's great testimony there from Bill McDonald. A reminder here, the second hour was presented by the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And we thank the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. So we wrap it up tonight. I think that does it, Michael. Michael Hernandez back in studio. I appreciate all your great work here tonight. Next Wednesday, it'll be more World Cup talk. Then we're going to have our live shows at the Gorgeous Gale. You can get the podcast of this show at podcastarena.com. Also on iTunes for all you soccer fans out there. Thanks for listening in tonight. For those that take it in on the podcast, we thank you as well. Great night. Thanks to the great guests we had, Bill McDonald, Mariano Trujillo, Warren Barton, and, of course, Kobe Jones. All right, my next game on the World Cup with Kobe Jones, Friday, Serbia and Switzerland. Enjoy the World Cup, and remember, soccer matters.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.